Isaiah 35 is a wonderful chapter, 10 verses that are all, this chapter is a chapter that is prophesying and anticipating what Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come to do and to accomplish, what he's going to accomplish in his coming. And so we want to read these 10 verses here tonight from Isaiah 35. The Bible says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, which where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Now, this was Isaiah's message, prophetic message, one of several other messages in the book of Isaiah, pointing to the Messiah that was going to come. And it's only fitting because Isaiah's name itself means Savior, or salvation is come. And so it's a wonderful book. Jesus quotes in the New Testament from Isaiah a number of times, and even stands up at the beginning of his ministry. He stands up and reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he reads about the coming of the Messiah and what the Messiah is going to accomplish when he comes. Praise the Lord. Now, you can't talk about salvation. You can't talk about any of the benefits of knowing the Lord and of Christ without talking about the wonderful blessing of healing. We know that we are created in the image of God. When sin entered into the garden, all of the things that resulted from the fall, sin entered into the earth, including sickness and physical ailment, and all of these other things are the result of the fall and the rejection of the Lord, and then the fall into sin. And when sin entered in, then even the physical body was affected by sin and by the fall. But for some reason, and I know that this has been kind of a continuous pattern over the years, and I've been around Pentecost all my life, and I know that there has seemingly been this move away from the message of healing. And it's been kind of a gradual thing, but we've kind of gradually, and part of it is because there have been some of these high-profile people, you know, TV, high-profile people, and I won't call names, but who've kind of turned the whole ministry of healing into almost a circus, almost something to be made fun of. And it is made fun of, and it's been made a mockery because of so many foolish things that have been done under the name of the Lord and under the name of a healing ministry. And so from that, I guess it's like a lot of other things, like the whole idea of the whole faith ministry, because the faith ministry was kind of hijacked by some, and they have taken the faith message and kind of have moved outside the boundaries of the Word of God. I guess the real important thing that I want to emphasize tonight, and that is healing is a biblical truth. Divine healing is in the Word of God, and you see it continuously. And I think that whenever you, if you're a regular, faithful person who reads the Bible on a regular basis, when you read the Bible and you are, for instance, let's say that you are sick in body. It's been a long thing. You've been struggling with sickness. But when you read the Bible, read it in light of the fact that you are searching for all of those places in the Word of God where God speaks about healing. And when if you read the Word of God and you make note of the fact, you're going to find healing all throughout the Word of God. It's not just in a few select scriptures, but you're going to find it because you're searching and you're looking for the truths that are there about this important subject. Now, I think another thing that has happened to a lot of us in a lot of our churches is that we have moved away from a Christ-centered ministry. And the Lord help us to not do that. Anytime that whatever you believe or whatever you preach, everything that is a part of our Christian experience, it has to flow out of our relationship with Jesus. Everything. Everything we believe. Everything that we know and all the doctrines of the church that we believe, the doctrines of the Word of God that we hold to, and they are precious to us. I've given this example a lot of different times, but as I see it, Jesus Christ has to be the hub of the wheel. And all of these other things, while important, they're the various spokes in the wheel. They are important, and that doesn't mean that they're to be neglected, but Jesus is the center of everything that we do. Amen. So if we teach and preach on evangelism, we do it because Jesus is at the center of our life, and we believe that we have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever we believe, if we're talking about the coming of the Lord, if we're talking about the rapture of the church, we're talking about that because Christ is the center of our life and all that we believe in, and we know that He is a soon coming King. Amen. So all that we believe pours out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so to pull healing aside and make that the only thing and the focus of your life, I think that the mistake that we make is that we focus on healing instead of focusing upon the message of Jesus Christ, the healer. Amen. And all that He came to do to provide healing for us. He is our all in all. He's everything. And all that we believe, if it's not centered in Christ and centered in the Word of God, then what we have is just our own opinion. It's just our own thinking, our own ideas. Make sure that you're building your life on Bible doctrines that are springing out, pouring out of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, all you're living by is just a big set of rules. And it's not going to get it done. Your rules are not going to get it done. The only way that you're going to be able to really live for God faithfully and to see all the benefits of serving the Lord is that you fall in love with Jesus and you build that relationship with Jesus, and then you begin to reap all the wonderful benefits that come from walking with the Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Isaiah, I'm going to go through this here, Isaiah 35, I want to mention the fact, something that we all know. We all know that we are created by God and we are spirit, soul, and body. We are a triune being. And this is just, you know, basic understanding of how God created us to be. We are spirit, soul, and body. And I see, as I was reading this passage of Scripture, I see the Messiah as coming to minister in each of these areas, verses 1 and 2, to the spirit, you see, because the Bible says that before, when you're lost, when you don't know the Lord, you are dead. The Bible says you are dead in trespasses and sins. You're dead. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Colossians 2 and 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So the best way to describe someone who is lost, who is not in the place of having been their sins forgiven and having a relationship with Jesus, born again of the Spirit of God, that person is dead spiritually. Their spirit is dead. And that's what Isaiah is describing here. When you look at this as a message concerning what the Messiah came to do and was coming to do, verses 1 and 2, and the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. For what? For all the promises, for all the blessings that are going to come to the people of God. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now that doesn't happen in a desert. In a desert, dry, barren place, you don't see things beginning to grow and blossom and roses to begin to bloom. That doesn't happen. It shall blossom, verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Those two verses, this is just my own interpretation of this tonight, and you can take it for what it's worth. But the spirit is dead. The spirit of a man is dead. It has to be quickened. There's nothing but your life is like a barren desert. But Jesus came to bring life to you. He came that barren desert will begin to bloom and begin to produce and begin to grow, that there would be life in the midst of that deadness. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do, to bring life. And once you are, your life is changed and you're born again of the Spirit of God, then all of the death and all of the dying and all of the hopelessness of that kind of a desert life changes, because Jesus causes the spirit of the man to become life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Isaiah speaks to the spiritual man, and then he speaks to the soul of the man. Verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. So the second part of the makeup of man, the soul of the man, the emotion of the man who when he is lost and without a Savior, he's fearful, he's full of doubt, he's weak, he's hopeless. There's no faith, there's no future, there's no confidence. And that's what Isaiah is describing here. And when the Messiah comes, then he's going to say, be strong, those of you that are fearful. Behold, your God is going to come and he's going to rescue you. And he's going to bring you out of your hopelessness and out of your despair, that you can rise up and be confident in your future and the life that God gives to you. Amen. Then the third, of course, is the physical body. And I guess the point that I'm wanting to make here tonight is, sure, the Lord is just as concerned about your physical body as he is about these others. He is concerned about your physical body. We are created in the image of God, and Christ came also to take care of the problem of sin and the effect of sin in our bodies related to our physical needs. Amen. Then the eyes, this is verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Hallelujah. What a glorious picture that Isaiah has given to us of his own name. The Lord is salvation, and he comes to save you, and he wants to not only take care of the problem of your spirit and your soul, but he's also able to come and to rescue you in your physical needs. Praise God. Amen. When Jesus stood up there in the temple, quoting from Isaiah, his first public speaking, he just took the scriptures and read from Isaiah. I'm going to look at the account from Luke chapter 4, verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Notice again, he's dealing with the spiritual need, the dead wilderness spirit that's poor and hopeless. And the gospel is preached the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You're going to see the three divisions of the makeup of man, spirit, soul, and body, even in the ministry that Jesus announced here in Luke chapter 4, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight, the physical body, to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So the message is that Jesus has come to provide salvation and to rescue us from our sin and the effect of sin in this world and in our own physical bodies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I think that we need to be reminded of the fact that God is a merciful God. He's merciful. When you read about Jesus and his ministry, Jesus took time for everybody. He took time when he was physically exhausted and ministered to people. I was reading there in Luke chapter 9, in verse 10, it says, "The apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida." So he takes his disciples to the side and is going to have this little quiet private meeting with his disciples. But then it says in verse 11, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him." And does it say, he said, "I'm too tired for you. This is a private meeting. I don't have time to help you at this time." No, he doesn't say that. It says they followed him out there to Bethsaida, "and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, 'Send the multitude away that we may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place.'" And you know the story. Instead of sending them away, he cares about their physical needs. He cares about their needs. Amen. So God is merciful. And we need to be reminded of that fact whenever we pray for the sick or we pray for one another in our physical needs and call upon the Lord and understand that he's merciful. And not only did he come to save you, but he also came into this world to provide physical healing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One more verse here in Psalm 145, or two verses actually. Psalm 145, 8 and 9. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. So instead of rejecting and turning people away, He ministers to them spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Praise God. And I just believe that He has done that. Many of us have experienced the healing power of God. And I think for me, it was deeply ingrained into me as a child. Myself or my two brothers get sick, you know, like kids do, virus or flu or whatever, running fever. And I can remember my mother, she was not real quick to take us to the doctor, but she was really quick about calling the pastor. And the pastor would drop by and visit for just about 5 minutes, and then he would do what he had come to do. He brought his little oil with him, and he would anoint us with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And I was a little kid, but it made a deep impression upon me that God was concerned about our physical needs. Praise God. I've never said, don't go to the doctor. I go to the doctor. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to see doctors. Thank God for doctors. And I'm not discouraging that. But I think many, many times before we ever even call on the help of the doctor, we ought to take some time to do what the Word of God tells us to do and be reminded that Jesus came for this very purpose, to save us, to minister to our weaknesses and the effect of sin, the penalty of sin in our lives. We feel the effect of it, Satan's attack against us physically. Amen. Thank God for healing. Hallelujah. Thank God for His healing power. And that He can heal. And we're going to pray for little Talon here in just a few minutes. For this little baby. Jesus said, suffer the little children. Bring them to me. Don't say, stay away. Bring the little kids to me so that I can bless them and I can meet their needs. I can minister to them. Praise God that we can do that. And we can pray for our children and for our families and pray for one another. And the church ought to be a place of prayer, ought to be a place of a lot of wonderful things, but it also needs to be a place of healing. Amen.